Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the power of the air. We don't usually think about there being a power of the air, but in Ephesians 2:2, we read about it. It refers to Satan as the prince of this power. The power of the air can best be understood as our earthly realm, which is a physical realm in which we humans rely on air for life. Humans are subject to air. They cannot have life unless they continue to breathe oxygen. Even if we use a spaceship to go to the moon, we still must have a supply of air in order to live. This is the only existence that flesh and blood people have. Until we become born again in spirit, and until we get new glorified heavenly bodies when Jesus comes, we must rely on air. But Satan has been given permission to tempt humans with the things of this world and cause them to be deceived by his lies. Our physical world is Satan's domain. As the Bible says, he is the prince of this world. Not a prince of heaven, but a prince of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. Let's go ahead and read Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and this will help us understand it better. It says, "And he has quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom all of us had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." These scripture verses show us clearly that the natural course of this world is sinfulness. Verse 3 describes the natural course of this world as involving lusts of the flesh. It even plainly tells us that we humans begin our lives outside of the blessing of God and subject to his wrath. When we first live on this earth, we are earthly, sensual creatures, which react in an animalistic fashion rather than a heavenly fashion, and our only real purpose on earth is to satisfy our desires. It is in this realm that Satan works. He tempts us with things of this world, which satisfy the desires of our flesh, and at the same time, he lies to us so that we will not understand the truth of God. The combination of lies and the temptations of the world cause us to be outside of the blessings of God. Because of our sins, we are unacceptable to God, and therefore we are subject to his wrath. When we finally turn away from the lusts of this present world and begin to live our lives as servants of Christ, our born-again experience begins. At this time, we become spirit beings, even though we are still subject to our fleshly bodies. Being born again in spirit allows the Holy Spirit of God to take up residence within us. It is at this time, because of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, that we can begin to understand things of God which were formerly impossible for us to understand. Satan, because he has been prohibited from destroying God's children, cannot touch us. He cannot destroy us. The only avenue of approach he can make to us is through our flesh, by tempting us with the physical delicacies of earth, those things which appeal to the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not our spirit man, but our flesh, which depends upon air for life. We are alive in the spirit, But our bodies have not yet been changed into glorified bodies, and therefore we still fall prey to Satan's temptation because our fleshly bodies react so strongly to the physical delights of this world. Now, God has given Satan boundaries which he cannot pass. His realm that he must work within is the realm of air, and through those who exist because of air. He must work through the part of man that is subject to the need for oxygen in order to accomplish any of his diabolical works. In other words, he is the prince that rules within the boundaries of Earth's physical scientific laws. We know from scientific viewpoint that air, oxygen, is necessary to be transferred to the body in order for the body to continue to function. The air is actually transferred into the blood, and the blood carries the oxygen to the muscle tissues and to the brain and other vital organs. This is Satan's area in which he can work. He can work in that area of flesh and blood. This means that Satan's power lies within the boundaries of the human nature side of man. All the work that Satan does must be performed by working through fleshly man. That's why his only temptations are temptations which appeal to the physical man, or should we say, to the beast nature of man. Now, here's something to think about. Without humans to work through, Satan cannot do anything, for Satan's power is dependent on his ability to deceive human minds with his lies. He is not the prince of the power of heaven, but the prince of the power of the air. He is prince over everything which can be manipulated by physical means. Notice in Scripture that when Satan tempted Jesus, he could only offer Jesus the delights and desires of this present world. He could not offer Jesus heavenly things because he is only the prince over physical things. He is only the prince of the power of the air. His power only extends to whatever he can get humans to do for him. But by lying to humans, twisting God's word into deceitful untruths, humans are convinced to follow after him and create the social and scientific network on this earth. In this manner, Satan hopes to set up a kingdom on earth which will rival God's spiritual kingdom. Now, in order for Satan to affect anything in this world, he must lie. That's why the Bible says he is a liar and the father of all liars. His only power is in the lie because he can only get people to do his earthly work for him if he can convince them that their future lies in the promises of Earth's scientific abilities rather than in God's spoken word. And because he cannot overcome God through God's own spoken word, Satan is attempting to overcome God by the scientific powers of Earth. It works like this. Satan presents opportunities to stimulate our fleshly man with the delicate things of this world. If our desire for the things of this world are greater than our desire for the spiritual things of God, then we will succumb to those lies. His temptation then has become successful. This is where his power lies. And because Satan cannot work in the realm of the Holy Spirit and wield the power of God's word, he has chosen to work in the realm of the physical world and convince the people of earth to take their eyes off of heavenly things and set their affection on earthly things. But fortunately, you and I are not subject to the flesh to the extent that unsaved people are, for we are born again, and God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit and gives us direction and guides us into all the truth of God. And the more the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, the less we believe Satan's lies. When you and I resist the delicacies of earth and begin to set our affections on heavenly things, Satan loses control over us. Our lives no longer depend on air or blood, for even if the air and blood is taken away from us and the flesh part of us was to perish, we would still be alive in Jesus Christ. we have this promise. We know from the story of the rich man and Lazarus that Lazarus was in paradise with Abraham, and this means that Abraham and Lazarus were with the Lord. We also know that the rich man was not with the Lord, but was in Hades. We also have the Bible story of the thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus replied to him that on that very day, the thief would be with Jesus in paradise. Satan has no power in Hades nor in paradise, and he certainly has no power in heaven. His only power is in working through the wicked people of earth or even in Christians who give in to his lies and temptations. But even this is only to a certain extent, and Satan is still hindered by the truth of God wherever it is found. Therefore, the boundaries that God has given Satan hinder him from working effectively in God's people, and he can only work through that part of man which is subject to error, which is the fleshly, carnal nature side of man. Now, some people think that Satan can do anything. Some people think that Satan can move mountains. Some people think Satan can create something out of nothing or can move furniture by himself. There is much confusion in this area, and even Christians are unaware of what Satan's boundaries actually are. No, I'm not saying that Satan cannot cause things to happen, but what I am saying is that Satan can only cause things to happen when he works through flesh and blood. You see, the only avenue of approach to flesh and blood is through the mind of a person. And that person who does Satan's work must have faith sufficient to the task. A mind has no power of its own. It only reacts to truth and lie. Satan has no power over any human being without coming in through that person's mind with a lie. However, once the lie is accepted and the person enters into a realm of deception concerning a certain thing, they will then operate their lives according to what they understand. It's the same thing for you and I when God's word comes into our minds and we believe truth. We then make decisions based upon what we believe. And because we are born-again beings, we make good decisions by following the truth. But the wicked people make poor decisions and follow the lies. Satan then begins to control them by giving them more and more lies until the deception in those persons is great enough. When this deception is great enough, Satan gains sufficient control to create things he wants created, or to do things he wants done, through those people that he controls. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say that Satan wants to create something on earth which will be used to destroy the truth of God. Let's say this item is a television set, and that the television set has not yet been invented, and this is because the people of earth don't have sufficient technology to do it. So Satan begins to lie to the human race, deceiving them and convincing them into thinking that they no longer need to concentrate on the righteousness of God, but should concentrate on things which bring stimulation to their flesh. So, over a great span of time, Satan lies to the human race and tells them that it's more important to stimulate their flesh toward the things of this world than to stimulate their spirit man toward the things of God. As wicked man comes to accept this premise, they begin to concentrate on how they can stimulate their flesh more and more. As man begins to grow in knowledge, he finally figures out how he can harness the fire of the heavens. He experiments until he is able to harness electricity by bringing lightning, the fire of the heavens, down to earth. One thing leads to another, and eventually man is able to create a television. Of course, at first, this television is only a means to be entertaining. And of course, at first, there are some good things that it is used for. However, over a span of time, the wickedness of man causes him to think of ways he can use this television to stimulate his flesh even more wickedly. Satan, during all this time, continues to lie to the human race, telling them that this is their destiny, and that sooner or later they will find the key to eternal life through science and technology, and will no longer need God. Notice that in this example, Satan does not personally create the television set, even though he might have the actual knowledge of how to do it. But he tempts man with the desire for things, knowing that man will strive to meet the physical desires of his flesh and eventually create what Satan wants created. This is one way that Satan can accomplish his work in the earth, and as a matter of fact, this example is documented specifically in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Notice, if you will, that in reading Revelation 13, it is not Satan who creates the image of the beast, but it is the people of earth who create the image. But there is another way through which he can accomplish some things, and that is through wicked man's faith in him. This is something that is not well understood, but we have many stories of Satan worshippers or witch doctors accomplishing feats that are seemingly miraculous. However, many of these testimonies are probably not completely true. Some of them may be true, or maybe none of them are true, but we do have actual scripture in the Bible which shows that wicked people can do miraculous things. In the book of Exodus, we read of the magicians in the court of Pharaoh who did three specific miraculous things. First, when Moses and Aaron were before Pharaoh, Aaron cast his rod down and it became a serpent. But the magicians of Pharaoh also cast their rods down, and these also became serpents. That is a miraculous event. Second, when Moses turned water into blood through the power of God, Pharaoh's court magicians were also able to turn water into blood. And third, when Moses was able to bring frogs up onto the land, Pharaoh's magicians were also able to bring up frogs. We know that the magician's power stopped there, and they were not able to continue to match the power of God. Nevertheless, we must realize that miraculous things can indeed be done by people who have come to believe in the power of Satan. The real key to it, though, is the extent of the faith of the person. And concerning faith, whether it is faith in God or faith in Satan, nothing gets done on earth without faith. Of course, God can do anything he wants to do by himself. But Satan cannot do anything unless he can get the people of earth to have sufficient faith in his deceptions, and then they do it for him. Satan is helpless without people to believe in him. No wonder he works so hard to deceive us. So, just as Christians can only do the miraculous according to their faith in God, the wicked people of earth can only do the miraculous according to their faith in Satan. Just as there are very few Christians who can demonstrate such great faith in God, there are also very few of the wicked who can demonstrate great faith in Satan. However, Satan can still cause wickedness to come to pass in the earth by working within the realm of man's human nature. By causing the people of earth to do his will, he can still accomplish some fantastic things, but his ability to create is only within the boundaries of physical flesh. However, in this day and age, there is very little shortage of humans who work to create inventions within the scientific principles of earth. And through the scientific community of earth, Satan has created the technology to bring about the image of the beast. The image is nothing more or less than the display of the animal nature of mankind, through the venue of TV and movies. No, Satan has not created it by himself, but has only caused it to be created through humans who have set their affection on things of the earth rather than on heavenly things. Now, few people seem to realize that Satan's control is so extensive. They seem to think that most of the things that take place on this earth, and especially the science and technology, is strictly the result of man's ingenuity and not connected to Satan in any way. In fact, many people believe that science and technology is God's blessing. But God's realm is not in the fleshly nature of man, but in the spirit realm. God does not need to create financial institutions in order to meet the needs of his people. God does not need to create doctors and medicine in order to heal his people. God does not need to create automobiles to move his people from one place to another. For in all these things, God only needs to speak and everything will come to pass. If he can feed Elijah with ravens, he doesn't need a supermarket. All of man's technology is a method for flesh and blood to establish the means of provision which the human body needs. In itself, these things are not evil. But it is not until these things are created that they can be used for evil purposes. And no, I do not think that medicines and physicians are evil in themselves. But with the inventions of pharmacy and medical technology, Satan has an avenue of temptation to misuse it for his own purposes. The extreme example of this is in the area of gene manipulation, biotechnology, and even the cloning of human beings. Satan's purpose is to convince man that he no longer needs God. He has worked as the prince of the power of the air and has convinced man that man's own might and power is sufficient to provide for his own needs. If Satan can convince man that man himself has the power within himself to create life and to extend life into eternity by the means of science and technology, then mankind can easily choose to disregard God and cast him away as if he were a useless piece of furniture. Anyone who is a Christian for real should be able to comprehend this.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as he sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now once again, here's Randy.
It is the image of the beast that the people of earth have created that is Satan's greatest tool for capturing the minds of humans. It is his greatest tool for causing people to receive his mark of ownership. And it is Satan's intent to bring about a total change in earth's future to the extent that there is no one left on the face of the earth except those who are designated as belonging to him and who respond only in purchasing the delights and delicacies of this world. It is Satan's intent that there would be no one left who seeks the heavenly things of God. Now, if you want to contemplate something interesting, think about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In these verses, the Bible tells us that Satan, that mystery of iniquity, would be hindered from going full force against the people of earth. But when the time was full, the hindrance to Satan would be removed, and Satan would go forth without being held back. This is exactly what has happened in these last 300 years. Notice that the people of earth lived for almost 6,000 years with ox cart and wagon. But look at the world today. Ox cart and wagon for almost 6,000 years, and suddenly science and technology have skyrocketed, literally. You see, Satan has been given permission to tempt humans to an extent that was never before allowed. His deception, by bringing fire down from heaven, was the beginning of it. This fire of the heavens is the scientific breakthrough of the scientific discovery of electricity. Notice that this is the only miracle referred to in Revelation 13 that is accomplished by the second beast. And this second beast is the physical nature, the animal nature, the beast nature of humans. It is the flesh nature which delights in the things of this world. With the rapid production of science and technology, the people of Earth are being convinced that God is no longer necessary to ensure eternal life. Science is even now predicting that in the future, mankind will be able to successfully overcome death by the means of biotechnology. Think about it. Almost 6,000 years of ox cart and wagon. And now we're in a race which pits science and technology against the spiritual realm of God. Can you see it?
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 37, The Power of the Air. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.